Well, good evening. How are we doing tonight?
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go and kick off I Saw the Light. That'll be page 29 for whoever wants to turn to it. Key of A. Key of A. A is in Apple. You want to kick us off on that? What? You have my back.
I didn't know if you wanted to play in G.
We're playing it, eh? This doesn't have railroad spikes on it, so I'm going to be sure.
Yeah, you guys want to do it?
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Bob, you want to hit something?
Like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and tears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. So happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise
So I'll tell you what, my guitar player got sick on me, and so did my wonderful piano player, but I'm so blessed to have Matt sitting over here on the mandolin chopping up here. It's been a great time. He just kind of jumped in. I guess he just carries it in his back pocket or something, because he had it on there for him. Yep. So, and this is my beautiful wife. She's singing with me. This is Michaela. Michaela Flatness now. She's sticking with me, and you know, if everything goes good, she might not hit me too hard tonight. So everything's going good there. All righty, I think we're going to do Mansion Over a Hilltop, page 45. That'll be key of C. C is in cross. C is in Carl. Christ, maybe. There you go. I'm satisfied. Something about that phrase. You want to kick that off?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that.
I
side, just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we will never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold.
Bob, will you play something for me?
Tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. Don't think you're joined here, no permanent dwelling. Now he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a just over the hilltop in that bright land where we will never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander and walk the streets that are pure as gold.
I found a guitar player.
Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltops in that bright land where we will never grow old. And someday yonder we will never wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. But walk the streets that are purest gold.
Well, Larry, would you mind coming up here real quick?
How about going ahead and giving a big hand to this band real quick here? Well, welcome home to all of you at Sauk River Cowboy Church. See all of you here tonight and watching online. I tell you what, our people watching online is growing. I'm hearing it's getting up to around 8,000 or 9,000 now all over the world. That's a praise. Give a hand there, too. Any first-time visitors tonight? First time. Never been here before. Don't be bashful. We won't attack. Nobody. Then what are you doing? Get out there and invite people. What's the matter with you? Oh, all right. I do need to remind you folks, they've asked me to do this, to remind you, no food or beverages. You can have beverages here, but no food in here. Beverages only in a cup with a lid on it, you know, or locking lid or whatever. So it's a tight lid on there so it won't spill and everything, okay? We appreciate that. Newsletters on the table in September. October will be out pretty quick here if we can get Lori all healed up and doing all right. Or you can read it online, too. So picture Saturday, the next Saturday, this is Saturday, October 4th, 9 to 2, and Sunday, October 5th, right here at the barn, noon to 2, okay? Adult Sunday school classes every Sunday, 8:45, right here, all right? Circle of Sisters every Monday, 6 p.m., also here. Band of Brothers, first and third Sunday each month, 1 p.m. Is that right, Randy? 1 p.m.? 1. Yeah, okay. That's right here. And board game night every Friday night for adults at 5:30. Right back here over here, too. All right? Anybody wants to be baptized, we can still do that. We can go to the river before the snow flies. Don't want to do it after snow flies. And or we can have the tanks and we can baptize both here and the Livestock Center. So if you want to do that, you come see us and we'll make sure that happens. All right? Sauk River Cowboy Connections, I got to mention them too. That's on Facebook. Judy Thomas put that together several months and years ago, whatever. But I love when there's prayer requests on there, praises, all that kind of thing. Get on there and look at that. Rare Breed, you know, we do collections for them quite often. Believe this or not, these are teenagers, homeless teenagers. They need pull-up diapers. I know. There's got a little kids out there, too. Quite a few kids, little kids. So if you can do that, bring them in, and we'll get them to them, all right? Birthdays. Anybody got a birthday this week? Here? Okay. Anniversary? Any anniversaries? No anniversary? Oh, you got birthdays. Go for them. Well, yeah.
It's my daddy's birthday.
Is it?
It was my daddy's birthday. It was his birthday last week, and I don't think he put his hand up. Good gosh. Alrighty, and a one, and a two, and a one, two, three. Happy birthday. Oh my gosh, I've got a cold right now if you can't tell. Let's raise that key a little bit. One, two, one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you, Daddy. Happy birthday, no anniversaries to you.
That's Art Dawson, I tell you. Enjoy it. All right. This past Sunday after church, I got home, been to all three services that day, and was kind of tired. Sat down in my recliner and turned on the TV, watched football games. Now, what we do on Sunday afternoons? So I just thought I'd lay back here and watch them football games, probably fall asleep. I'm not a big Facebook fan, except for our Sauk River Cowboy Connections, but I picked up my smartphone that's smarter than me. And clicked on Facebook. I don't know why I did that. There were videos of Charlie Kirk's and memorials all over America and the world. And I just kept looking at them. I thought, wow. There were thousands and thousands of people at each one of them. I just stopped right there and bowed my head and prayed that I was seeing the beginnings of a revival in America and the world. That's right. I turned on the television, too, not to watch the football. I turned on to see if any news media was covering that. Ain't no way. Wasn't there. Didn't expect it to anyway. But as I continued to scroll on my phone through all the Charlie Kirk memorials, I stopped at one where Charlie's wife, Erica, walked up to the mic, fighting back tears. She composed herself, looked into the camera, and said, "When Jesus was dying on the cross for all of us, he looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Wiping more tears away, she said, "I want to say to the young man that took the life of my Charlie, I forgive you." I about lost it, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. May we all have the faith, the strength, the boldness and the forgiveness every day that she had in that special moment. Is there someone you need to forgive? You need to forgive yourself. That's something to think about. Bow with me in prayer, please. God, it's me again here. I'm going to come before you right now praying that with the revival we're seeing in the world, more people will come to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Maybe someone here tonight. May a revival start in this church, Father. And we all invite others to come experience this special place called Sauk River Cowboy Church. May we all be bold and reach out to folks we don't know and let them know we welcome them. We're here for them. We pray for them. And we're here to help in any way we possibly can. Most importantly, though, is that we will be bold in telling them that you are always there for them and that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Father, we lift up all those going through illnesses. Jack, Lori, Lacey, Shay, little Shay, Jimmy, Charles and Jean, R. Kelly, and others. And there's probably more I've missed. I pray they take it one day at a time and they put it in your hands, Father. I ask this all in your precious name and pray in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. God bless America, this church, and all of you.
Do you realize that the midweek services in churches used to be called prayer meetings? Yeah, thank God I go to a church that still has a prayer meeting. Amen. The Cowboy Church has a prayer meeting. All right. And we want to lift up and continue to pray for Diane Stroud, for her sister Cheryl Bosley. Now, and has a PICC line for an IV meds to heal her infected knee replacement. It was done in July. The skin is having difficulty growing back. We want to pray for her niece, Lisa Cox, a young wife and mother with stage 4 colon cancer, now taking over her lungs. Her youngest child is still at home in high school. The family is very sad. That's heartbreaking. God knows what's going on. Shay, of course, we have continually been praying for Shay. She needs her numbers to go up for her chemotherapy. Her numbers have been low, and we need to pray that they will go up so she can get back on chemotherapy. She will be going to Barnes in Kansas City for more testing soon, and we want to pray that goes well. That little girl has been an amazing blessing to us. We've watched God work in her life. Jack Nichols. Jack is having surgery tomorrow, and so we want to lift up Jack Nichols. We want to pray for Joanna and Tony McKee. Has a bone cancer and has heart problems as well. My goodness. Kelly Malachor and family lost his wife this week. Had heart issues. Joy Miracle has an unspoken request, and there were other people that told me tonight about unspoken needs, so we want to lift them up too as we're praying together. We want to remember that there are people who just want to keep it private, but God knows. Cecilia Early just diagnosed with Alpha-Gal syndrome. Can't eat meat, cheese, milk products. My goodness. That'd be torture. Brian and Katie Barnes, after years of trying to get pregnant, she is due in April. Doctors expecting some late pregnancy complications. Well, we hope that they're wrong. We pray that they'll be wrong. Troy Garrow, Olathe, Kansas. This is Eileen's son, has a heart valve that needs repair. We have a lot of prayer requests tonight. This is from Charlotte, M-A-H-A-L-Y. She's going to St. Louis to see about a knee replacement. Okay, we're going to pray for that. Pete Carmi has in hospital with a bad infection. His is 94, and I'm so sorry. I wish I could read that better. That's Donna Teague. Praise to God about a good. Please keep her in your prayer. This is Donna Teague. Valerie Jones, Highland City, Florida, open heart surgery. Larry McCarthy, that's another unspoken. And then we have, a group that's wanting to form to do Christmas caroling this fall. If you're interested in being a part of that, write this number down, 713-614-1684. You'll be seeing more about that. And then there's another one laying here, David Barnett, yes. This is my cousin's husband, he's doing an IV at home, having heart issues. Join me in prayer. Lord, those names and issues and situations, they come before us, but we bring them to you knowing you understand. We don't understand all the situations, but we bring them to you, ask you to work on in every life, to touch them, to heal them, to work with those who stand by. We pray for strength for the families of those who are sick. Pray for doctors, guidance, and wisdom to know what to do. Lord, keep us from the hand of the enemy. Walk close to us. Lift up our hearts in this time. And Lord, we do agree with what Larry said. I pray that a revival breaks out in America. And it may have already done it, and I just want to be a part of it. So bless us, Lord, as we walk through the days ahead, and we want to hold on to your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's have some music.
I'm going to let you. All righty, let's turn to page 60, the old rugged cross.
Key of C again. We're going to stay right where we were. If you want to kick it again, I mean...
I can. I can try it.
Yeah.
You ready?
Was slain.
His glory above, to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
Well, you know, talking to some of y'all folks, I realized some of y'all have never met my wife. This is Michaela, and I guess I'll tell you about how we met. We were doing a musical together. I was a senior in high school, and she was a sophomore in college, and it was called Children of Eden, and it's a telling of the Old Testament. And I played Cain, and she played the snake that tempts Adam and Eve. So I don't know if it's a match made in heaven or a match made somewhere else, but you know what? It's working out good for the two of us. So we're going to do one that's not in the songbook, but I know all y'all know. Let's do Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
That one will be key of G. And if we want to do that one a little faster, yeah, okay. G run off. I can. Fast.
Why don't you kick it off? I'll figure something out.
Get it, Matt.
That's working this time.
Thank you.
heavenly bound, come for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot.
For some preaching now. So go preach the devil out of them.
How's everybody? Y'all all right? You sound good. That's a good thing. You're going to have to bear with me here. Pray for me tonight because I'm stepping into the technology age and I'm going to use an iPad tonight. Is that okay? I got to keep up with Pastor Scotty. Oh my goodness. So this week there was a promo video for this new series. We're going into Joshua and it looked kind of like a movie preview. And someone did a great job on it, and then Jim over here, he made a comment on that on Facebook. He says, I hope you can live up to the hype of the, so the pressure's on. Thank you for that. So hopefully everyone brought your Bible or your phone or your iPad, whatever you're using tonight, as we get into this study, and we're going to start walking through Joshua chapter by chapter. But tonight, I want it to be an introduction and kind of get a set up, and then I want to share with you three truths that I want us to remember. Write these down and think about these as we're going through this study. And so when we look in Joshua, and we're going to be in chapter 1, we're just going to look at the first several verses of chapter 1, and then next week we'll start into it chapter by chapter. But Joshua, really, we begin looking at Joshua as we talk about leading your family into God's promises, because now more than ever, we need men and women who want to courageously lead their families, spiritually lead their families into God's promises and what He has for us in the Word of God. And so that's what we're looking at, and that's going to be the theme, overarching theme of this entire study as we walk through this. But it really begins all the way back in Genesis, when God makes a promise in chapter 12 to Abraham at that point. He promises Abraham three things. He promises him land, blessing, and people. All right? And he makes this promise to him all the way back in chapter 12. Now, that's homework. Y'all can go and look at that in the first few verses of chapter 12. He makes a promise to Abraham, and he says, listen, I have a brand new land, this land that I'm going to give you, and you're going to see generations multiply, and you're going to have this family, and you're going to have people, but I'm also going to bless you in that land, in that promised land that I'm giving you. And so I want you to pick up, and I want you to begin to move, and I want you to go there. So we have Abraham, and then he moves through, and as we look through time, and as we see this history play out, we have Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Jacob, his name changes to Israel. God changes his name to Israel. And so this is all leading to Joshua as we read this. And so what started as a promise, God's promise to Abraham and to his family, as we get to the end of Genesis, we see a family turn into a nation in Egypt. And so that's where they were at. They were in Egypt, and this family turns into a nation, and I'm talking lots of them. So many that Pharaoh was worried, that Egypt was worried, that they were going to take over. And so they enslave the children of Israel. They enslaved this nation, and so God frees them. And we see this happen through Exodus. And through Exodus, we see that God brings them out and into out of Egypt, into the wilderness. They wander around because they make some mistakes. That's a 40-year trip. How many of y'all have ever been on a 40-year trip? Maybe some of y'all feel like it's been 40 years and you've been on the road sometimes. But they take this 40-year trip, circling in the desert. But now they find themselves, as we come to Joshua, they find themselves at the edge of the river, the Jordan River. And traditionally, a lot of people have looked at this, and a lot of songwriters and people who've written hymns have said the Jordan, they tie that in with when you cross Jordan, you're crossing over from life to death. But I would say, and I'm going to contest that, I would say the Jordan River, as you cross that Jordan River and we read about Israel crossing into the promised land, this is a symbol of Christians walking into a victorious life in Jesus and what God has promised us, spiritual blessing. And so that's what we're going to look at. And so here's the Israelites. They're standing on the edge of the river, all right? Not without its challenges in itself crossing the river, because keep this in mind, they were crossing this during flood season. So that river was flowing. But here they are standing on the edge and probably splashing around a little bit in ankle-deep water, just kind of ankle-deep in the promises. And I'll get into this more. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and start talking about next week. But they're splashing around here, and we can kind of think about this as splashing around in the safe, ankle-deep Christian culture. But it was time for them to move across that river and go into the deep, into discipleship, and into leading this nation into that promise that God had given them. And so this is what happens. We see Moses has passed away, and here's Jacob. And so Jacob is standing here. God calls Jacob to lead Israel at this point. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Joshua, and the main framework as we look at Joshua through these chapters is we're going to look at three things, three campaigns that are led by Joshua, and God leads them in here, three campaigns where they take the land and possess the land that God's promised them. That first campaign is going to be the central region, the central region of the promised land. This is where we see Jericho, the walls of Jericho fall, and AI, the battle at AI. And I'm not talking about artificial intelligence, just so you know. But they fight this battle in AI. And as we see this, what they're doing is they're dividing and conquering. They're dividing that land, that promised land, that territory. And so the second campaign is they go in and they take the southern portion of it. And then the third is they're going to go in and take the northern portion of what God has given them. And so as we read this, that's kind of the framework that we're going to look at, even though we're walking through it chapter by chapter. But I want to ask you something, and it's kind of important. Who's leading your family spiritually? Who's leading your family spiritually? Because this is not just a history story, but this is showing us how God called Jacob to lead what is now a nation, but a family, into God's promises. And so it was time for him to step up. It was time for him to step into that role as the spiritual leader. And so who's leading your family spiritually? Because if it's not you, it's someone else. And I can tell you this, if you're not leading your family spiritually, and this is going to be a little bit punchy as we read through this, this first opening introductory message into Joshua. So be prepared. But if you're not leading your family, someone will be willing to lead them. Today's culture would be happy to disciple and lead your family. It happens. And so do we lead our families? Because that culture is more than happy to do that, to step in, to disciple your kids if you don't want to. Now, Joshua, especially this first chapter, this isn't just the start of a conquest that we're gonna read about and that we're gonna study, but it's a call to leadership. It's a call to leadership. And so God doesn't wait for perfect conditions. Again, there was flood waters. There's reports of giants in the land. There are battles that they would face, and I'm telling you right now, when you begin to lead your family, when you begin to lead spiritually, men in here as spiritual leaders of your household, when you begin to lead, there will be conflicts and there will be battles that we face. I was just having a conversation before service with a couple of folks, and I mentioned, I said, it really is true that the deeper the commitment in your walk with the Lord, the stronger the battle sometimes. Is stronger because we have a real enemy, Satan, that wants to stop us, that wants to keep you from entering in. He's claiming that territory in your life, but we're going to have to walk in and lead spiritually our families and take back what God has promised us in that spiritual blessing. So when we think about this, this is not just the start of this conquest, but it's a call to leadership. God doesn't wait for perfect conditions. Here's Moses is dead. He's gone. The wilderness is behind them. The wilderness is behind them. And now God says, Joshua, it's all you. You're up. It's time for you to lead. It's time for you to step in and lead this family. And so as we read this, I want you to remember this. This isn't just about ancient battles that we read in the Bible. But this is about your living room. This is about your dinner table. This is about your children, your grandchildren, as we read this. So keep that in mind as we move through Joshua. Now, I want to share with you three truths that I want you to keep in mind as we walk through this study. Three truths, and they're very important, so you write these down or take notes and remember these as we're walking through chapter by chapter in Joshua. In chapter 1, we're going to just look at the first two verses, but write this down. You ready? God calls leaders to step up. God calls leaders to step up, spiritual leaders. First two verses, it says, "And after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun." Moses' assistant. And he said, verse 2, and this is the verse I want you to look at. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them." This is a call to action for Joshua. Now, Joshua didn't volunteer. He was called. How many of y'all have ever said that before? You know what? I didn't really volunteer for this. Right? You've been blessed with a task. You've been blessed with something. I'm going to say, let's use quote fingers, blessed with this opportunity. And you look at it and you say, yeah, I didn't sign up for this. But if you're married in here, or if you're going to get married very soon, or if you have children, I want you to know that you are called. You are called to lead your family, your house. Men, you're called to be the spiritual leaders of your home and to lead your family into God's promises and what He's given, into spiritual blessing. It's a call to action. You didn't stumble into parenthood. You didn't stumble into marriage. You made conscious decisions, right? Can you agree with me? Yes. Everyone shake your head up and down like this. You made that decision. You made that decision. And so if you've made those kind of decisions to be married, if you've made that decision to start a family, or if you have children, you need to know this, that you are called to lead. You are called to disciple your family. You are called to lead your family into those promises and into that spiritual blessing that God has given us. God placed you there on purpose and for a purpose. You have a job to do. I have a job to do. Sometimes I think about this. I want to say sometimes, hey, I didn't sign up for this when my kiddo's, you know, being wild and crazy and shooting rubber bands at people on a Sunday morning, and we're trying to grab him and get in control of him. Sometimes I want to say that, but no, I've got to stop, and I got to say, no, I've been called. I've been called to disciple my child. I've been called to spiritually lead my household, my family. It's a calling, and so if you're saved and if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior in here, I want you to know that you have been made and God has made a plan for you and you have purpose as you walk and you follow God. But I want you to know this, is that leadership's not about being perfect. It's important for us to understand that. It's not about being perfect. Well, I don't think I'm ready. You don't understand my past. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've done in my past. I don't have the greatest track record. Well, know this. Joshua did not have the same resume that Moses did. Joshua was Moses, it was his assistant. He helped him. Now you look at Moses, he didn't have a great track record, but yet he had some time and he wasn't a perfect leader. He dealt with some stuff. Let's be honest. In the wilderness, when he came down off the mountain with those tablets and he saw the children of Israel not doing what they were supposed to do, what did he do? He got mad, didn't he? He dealt with anger. He dealt with fear. He dealt with feelings of inadequacy. Right from the get-go, when God called him, what did he do? I can't talk good. He's struggling, kind of like me tonight. Struggling to get the words out. And dealt with those feelings of inadequacy, but yet God used him and called him to lead the children of Israel from Egypt to the Jordan. And now God is calling Joshua to lead them in to the promises of God. Just like you, parents, God has called you for a purpose and with a purpose to lead your families. And so it's a call. God calls leaders to step up. And so if you're looking for a sign, how many of y'all know, you know, the old redneck comedy routine? Here's your sign. If you're looking for a sign to know whether God has called you to lead spiritually in your home, here's your sign. Here it is. This is it. And so we need to stop waiting for a sign. Stop waiting for someone else to disciple our families, but begin to lead and to step into that role to lead our families. And so I want you to know this, is that you don't need a spiritual celebrity to lead your family. Your family needs you. Your family needs you, your grandchildren, your children, your wife. And I'm really talking to a lot of men in here because God has called us to be spiritual leaders in our household, but you ladies, you have a responsibility as moms, as grandmas, as aunts, as uncles, to lead, to set the example, to show the next generation how imperative it is that we continue to follow God and trust in Him. You don't need some big-time TV preacher. You don't need someone to do that. You just need to follow God, and your family needs you to lead. It needs you to be faithful, even in your flaws. But He needs you. God needs you to be available for your families. Listen to this. In Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 10, I love this verse, and it says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Maybe your Bible says workmanship. "He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that He planned for us long ago." If you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you're here this evening, and you're saved, God had planned long before you were born good things for you to do. He planned long ago for you to lead your family. He planned long ago for you to disciple your family, to grow. This wasn't just something new that came along. Oh, all of a sudden, Dawson, I'm going to pick on you since you're here. Is this okay? God didn't say all of a sudden, oh, okay, well, and Dawson's married now, so now, okay, I got to come up with something for him to do. It's not how that works. He planned before you were born, before your mom and dad, before you were even a twinkle in your dad's eye. God planned good things for you. Made a plan that you have a purpose to lead your family one day. Are you going to, I shouldn't bring that, I don't want to make it awkward, but you're probably going to have a family one of these days, right? Okay. All right. But he's called you to lead. And I thank God because I know that he called your mom and dad to lead. And they did a good job. Because look where you're at. And so, we're called to lead our families. He's given us a purpose. I'm sorry, hopefully I didn't upset y'all. We can talk afterwards if we need to. All right. So if you're waiting for a sign to lead your family spiritually, then this is it. Moses is dead and you're up. Now, I'm going to say this. There's good news here because this might be scaring some of you. You're talking about spiritual leadership and I just got saved and I haven't been a Christian for very long and this scares me. I don't know what I'm doing and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And I don't know how to... You're getting that weird tension and nervousness built up inside of you thinking, how am I supposed to lead? I need to be led. Here's the good news. God makes a promise, and this is the next thing I want you to write down. If you're going to write down the truth, God makes a promise. God promises his presence in our lives. And he promised his presence to Joshua. Listen to this, verse 3. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you'll be on land that I've given you. From the Negev wilderness... In the south, you're going to have to excuse me. I am struggling to talk. I can relate with Moses today. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. And then this is verse 5, and this is what I want you to listen to. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. What a promise he makes to Joshua right here. A promise of his presence. And he goes on to say that I will not fail you or abandon you. Isn't that good news? To know that you're called to lead, you're called to disciple your families, but you're not alone. It's a good feeling. Now, those of you who have kids, when they were smaller, did any of them ever ask you because they were scared, go with me? Anyone ever do that? I love it when my boy comes to me and I'll tell him, hey, go do this or go outside and it's dark out. I'll tell him, hey, go out to the truck. I need you to grab this for me. And he goes, Dad, go with me. I love it. I love that because he's looking to me for some protection, to help him, for reassurance. Now, all of us as children of God in here, we have a heavenly Father. When he calls us to lead, all we have to do is look back at him and say, go with me. And you know what his answer is? I was already planning on it. I made that promise. I'm there. I'm going to help you. Right beside you. Through every battle, through every hard time, through every sickness, through everything that we ever face, as we lead our families, God is with us. Guiding us. Helping us. So, Joshua's confidence didn't come from his skill. Now, some of you are very skilled in what you do, whether it's carpentry or musicianship. And how many of y'all know we've got some phenomenal musicians that get to help us and play music? Not only at the church, but next door. That's how I got a guitar to play tonight. But there are those who are skilled, and those skills vary. Some of you are skilled leaders. Some of you are skilled at other things, and you have resources, and you're good at those things. But Joshua, his success and his confidence in leading didn't come from his own skill set. So maybe you're saying, look, I've just accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm growing myself. I'm learning. I am trying to be a disciple myself. I want to move from just that Christian culture of knowing that, you know, you should go to church and there's a Bible, to being a believer in Jesus and what He's done for me. And I want to step out of that ankle deep splashing around. It's comfortable, but yet there's some scary waters ahead of me and I need to cross that. And there's going to be some battles that I'm going to face moving from just Christian culture to actual discipleship and following Jesus. I don't have great Bible study skills. I don't have speaking skills. I'm not great at all these things. How do you pray? How do I do that? You may be saying those things. I want you to know that Joshua here, he wasn't leading and he didn't have confidence in his own skills, but it came from God's presence. You have that same promise, whether you accepted Jesus yesterday or you've been saved for 40 years. The promise is the same, that God is with you. He's going to guide you. And so this is my encouragement to you. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep seeking God. Keep wanting to grow in your knowledge and your understanding of the Word of God. Keep showing up. Be available. Don't stop. Because God's with you, and every step of the way, you're going to learn. Every step of the way, you're going to grow. And your confidence needs to be in God, not in yourself. Your confidence is in Him. Now, listen to this in Matthew in chapter 28. Not only do we see this promise in Joshua, but Jesus gives the disciples the Great Commission, says, listen, you go make disciples and baptize these people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But He doesn't stop there. That's not the end of it. What I love, and because this is for us as believers, He says this in verse 20, in chapter 28 in Matthew. He says, and be sure of this, be sure. How many of y'all have ever been sure of anything? Anyone in here? You just know. Be sure of this. I'm going to stop right there because I got to tell you. There have been times I've walked to my refrigerator and I said, Julie, where's the mustard? It's in the refrigerator. I am sure there is no mustard in this refrigerator. And then I hear her footsteps come into the kitchen and immediately I start scrambling like if she comes in here and finds it. You thought you were sure, but were you really sure? You men know what I'm talking about in here. I'm not going to hear the end of this. And all the ladies say, amen. Amen. Jesus is saying this to the disciples. Be sure of this. Be sure. I am with you always, even into the end of the age. What a beautiful promise. We don't have to rely on our skill and our ability, but we rely on the presence of God in our lives as we lead. So, we're called to lead. If you're a believer in here, you're called to lead your family, your future family. You're called. It doesn't matter when you started or how long you've been going. Doesn't matter what your track record is, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you're called to lead. And then you're promised God's presence so that you don't have to rely on your own ability and your own skill. Brings comfort, right? And then here's the third truth I want you to get down in your hearts and understand this, because this is so important for every believer. It really is. Is that God commands courageous obedience. Courageous obedience. Well, Ty, I thought that you know, there's nothing that we can do that's good that'll save us. You're absolutely right. We don't obey to be saved. But because we're saved, and I want to preface this with this statement, we obey because of what Jesus has done for us. But it's courageous obedience that we need to know. And so look in verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. Count these with me. Ready? Be strong and courageous. One. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Verse 7. Y'all ready? And I underline this verse. Second time we hear him say, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. What instructions are those? The Word of God. They had the Bible, God's Word, the law. As they were in the wilderness coming this way, God gave them instructions on how to worship, gave him the Word, those first five books of the Bible, the law, so that they could study and they know the Word of God, what God wants for them. And then he says this, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you'll be successful in everything that you do. This is what he's saying. Be courageous. Now, we've heard it twice, him saying, be courageous in your obedience. Make the Word of God, he's saying, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, but make the Word of God in Jesus Christ the center of everything you do. The Bible is the center of everything you do. Not the Chiefs. Uh-oh. Not the Broncos. Not guitars. Not mandolins. Not fiddles. Not rodeo, not horses. Oh. Jesus, his Word. It's the very core, the center of everything we do. And we courageously hold on, believe, and obey the Word of God. Not because that's what's going to save us, because if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're saved. But because when we obey and we trust God, there's blessing that comes with that. Remember that promise I was just talking about that he made way back in Genesis to Abraham? Land, blessing, and people. Now, let's keep going. Verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. He's telling them, listen, when you make the Word of God the center of your life and everything that you do extends from the Bible and extends from your relationship with God, when you make Jesus the center, guess what? Everything is going to work out according to God's plan and what he wants for your life. Now, I'm going to mess this quote up. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, when you begin to pray God's will becomes your will. And so when we begin to live out God's will in our life, God's will becomes our will. Because emotions follow our actions. Not the other way around. Now, for some of you, maybe action has followed your emotions. For some situation, how many of you know? Has anyone ever been mad and you said something stupid? You engage the tongue before the brain actually got a chance to, you know, spin its wheels. But I'm telling you this, the emotion follows the action. When you begin to put action to the Word of God and you make that the thing, the center of your life, and your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in your life, and discipleship and discipling your families and teaching and leading your family spiritually, when that becomes the most important thing in your life, then all of a sudden, your will is God's will. And God's will is your will. And the amazing difference it has in your life. And we experience spiritual blessing. It's scary. It's not always easy. Because there will always be battles and there will always be people who want to say, no, I don't like what you're saying. As a preacher, you get used to that, right? Right, Scotty? I don't like that. It happens. But when we courageously obey God, we can have that courage and trust that God's got His hand on our lives. Now, let's keep going. This courage isn't the absence of fear. It's obedience in the face of it. God doesn't just want brave leaders. He wants obedient ones. Not just brave leaders, but ones who are obedient, who are courageous enough to say, no, this is what my family is going to do. We're going to serve God. We're going to trust in Jesus. No, we're not going to participate in that activity. No, we're not going to do this. No, we're not going to watch that. Ouch. But we courageously make a decision to trust in God and to follow Him and be obedient. He needs obedient leaders. Now, your kids don't need a cool dad. They don't need a trendy mom. All right? They don't need that. What they need is parents who fear God more than the culture. Parents who fear God. Grandparents who fear God. Men and women who fear God more than they fear culture. And you can cancel me. Go ahead. Cancel me right now. I dare you, because you know what you're not going to cancel? My salvation. My relationship with God. You can't do that. Why? Because I'm in the palm of God's hand and nothing's going to snatch me from that. We need men and women who are willing to lead their family spiritually and stand up and say, I fear God more than I fear the culture, more than I fear everything around me. I love what it says in James in chapter 1. It says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do it. Do what it says. Be doers and not hearers of the word, right? Some of your Bible says that. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Now, I want you to understand this, and I'm going to say this one more time, that obedience is not the means of salvation or real faith. But obedience is the fruit of salvation, trusting in God. You have nothing good in yourself. You can obey all day long, but it's too late. We've already messed up, every one of us. We have to have a Savior, and Jesus lived the perfect life for us. And so as believers, as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we grow more like Jesus. So we don't obey to be saved, but we obey because we are saved. And so you can't disciple your kids half-hearted. Obedience is so important. We have to learn, because there's a lot of Facebook theology, right? There's a lot of Netflix theology. There's a lot of that out there. There really is. But we have to make the Word of God the center and choose to obey Him. Now listen to this. Joshua is a shadow of Jesus. Jesus is the greater Joshua. Now, Jesus didn't cross the Jordan, but He crossed death, conquered death, hell and the grave for us. For us. And so as believers, yeah, we're not looking at a physical river that we're going to cross and looking at a physical plot of land, right, that we're going to divide up between Sauk River Cowboy Church. But what we see as we read through here is that this is our living room, our family. And that as we obey God and we lead our families, it brings spiritual blessing and life, eternity in Jesus Christ. And so he didn't just cross the Jordan, he crossed death. He didn't just conquer Jericho, he conquered sin. He didn't just divide the land, he secured your inheritance. And we're going to see these things as we walk through the book of Joshua. And so we lead our families. If you're saved in here, you are victorious. And you lead your families from victory, not for victory. You know what I mean by that? Because you're victorious, you get to lead your family. You're not saying, okay, family, come on, we're going to go try to fight this battle and win, and we're going to be victorious after that. No, you're already victorious. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are filled with resurrection power. You are victorious. You are. So as we lead our families, let's lead like victors. Let's lead like people who have won the battle because Jesus has won the battle for us as we walk and as we move forward into God's promises. And I want to say this, your failures do not disqualify you. When you look at your past, your failures don't disqualify you. Because God is leading you. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Jesus has already paid for your past. It's done. And we get to move forward. And so here we go. Y'all ready? I'm going to give you a call to action. All right? And then I'm going to challenge you. Men, lead your homes. Be the leader of your home and lead your families. That means don't just send your kids to church. Bring them to church. Bring them to church. And help them grow in their walk with the Lord. Ladies, be spiritual warriors. Your prayers shape the destinies of so many children, so many young people. I know so many men and women who will say, I am saved and serving the Lord right now, and if it wasn't for my mom, my grandmother praying for me. As a prayer warrior, I don't believe I'd be standing here today. Be warriors. Parents, this is going to sound kind of funny, but build altars of remembrance. You're going to see what we mean here later on as they cross the river and they get on the other side and into the Canaan, into the promised land. They take these stones and they take them out to the river and they put, I'm telling you already, I kind of stopped that. Getting ahead of myself. But make altars of remembrance through the Old Testament. We see that happening. What do I mean by that? Mark times and days and moments in your life and in your family's life that you can look back and remember and say, God did this right here at this time, and talk about it. We were just talking last night with our boy about stuff that we experienced and we did long before he was born. And he's listening and he finds it interesting. And then sometimes he doesn't, depending on the story. But we have this sign, and some of y'all have seen this saying before. I remembered when I prayed for what I have now. I remember when I prayed for what I have right now. We have that hanging in our house. Because it reminds us to remember what God has already done for us. And what happens is that bolsters our faith. And so we need to make sure we're making those altars of remembrance. Marks God's faithfulness in our lives is what it does. Kids, teenagers, you got drugged to church tonight. Oh, I don't want to stay home. But you're here. And so I want you to hear this, that you're a part of this mission too. You're a part of it as well. Ask questions. Your parents are going, no, don't ask, no. Don't ask. Ask questions. You kids in here, ask your parents questions. I'm going to be in trouble with all the moms and dads and grandparents in here. Ask questions about God. Talk to your parents about God. If they don't have the answer, guess what? They'll study. They'll learn it. Ask questions. Talk to your family about Jesus. Because Jesus has secured your inheritance too, if you believe. We need to remember that. All right. Y'all ready? You don't need Moses. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to be present, obedient, and courageous as you lead your families. Amen? God calls us to lead. He promises us His presence. And He calls us to courageous obedience. And as we walk through Joshua, we're going to see. We're going to get into more detail, and we're going to get into more of the story of what's happening over the next several weeks. But don't miss it. So this is what I'm going to tell you. Just because someone missed this introduction, that's all right. They can check it out on the live feed. But invite people. Say, you know what? I'm going to bring my Bible. I'm going to bring my people. And we're going to dig in over the next several weeks. Y'all with me? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love You and say thank You for Your goodness, for Your mercy, and that You have called us to lead. And that we don't have to rely on our own skill, our own abilities. But You've blessed us with the promise of Your presence in our lives. And so that gives us the courage to obey. The courage to be courageous and follow You and lead our families into the promises that You've given us. I thank You for that and I praise You for that. Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't accepted You as Savior, I pray that tonight's the night that they call You Lord. They accept You. They believe on You. And they begin to lead their family into the promises that You've made us. And I love You and I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Testing, 1, 2, there we go. We're going to finish out with Amazing Grace, page 2.
Key of G. Yeah. Bob, you want to start that key of G? G's and Jesus. Well, there's a Trinity. Prayer real quick. Dear Lord, thank You for this night, Lord, that we could gather here as a family under You, Lord, that we could gather as both a family in the Cowboy Church, but under Christ, Lord, as brothers and sisters. And Lord, as we go through and whatever temptations and trials, Lord, let us just base everything in You, Lord. Let us be our guiding rod as we go through. And Lord, let us strengthen our family through You, not through our own works and through our own trials and everything. Let us focus on You
and turn to you no matter what, through our family, through our faith, and through our personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.